Welcome to 45 Left or Right Podcast, Episode 9, The Pull of Motherhood. Today, we're going to talk about working mothers and the challenges of being a working mother. I interviewed my friend Emily, who has been my friend since I was born, essentially, and wanted to interview her about how she and her husband have come up with some really creative ways of taking care of their three beautiful daughters. And I have to admit, I am struggling today. I need more caffeine or more sleep or something. So I'm going to try to keep the pep up in this episode. So I remember sitting on a secondhand, disgusting, scratchy love seat with Jeff in my dorm room my sophomore year at Davidson. And just like you do when you are young and in love, we were talking about what we wanted for our family when we were married. How many kids would we have? I wanted three. He wanted two. We ended up with one. Where would we live? We even talked about how we would make dinner together, and we would have some wine and put the dishes away in the dishwasher together while we talked about our days and our dreams. For the record, 22 years later, I make dinner, he cleans the kitchen while I sit in my recliner. And there's no wine these days. One thing that I distinctly remember talking about was how we would manage our careers while having a family. At the time, I had no idea what I wanted to do as a career, but I knew I wanted to do something. I was going to work full-time and be a full-time, fabulous mom with no guilt whatsoever and no pull toward either one. I would balance everything perfectly, reach all of my professional goals once I had them, and be at every one of our kids' games, performances, school functions. I'd be on the field trips and have dinner on the table every single night. I did not think that either of us would have to sacrifice our careers for the well-being of our family. It was actually Jeff who made me realize that this was not a feasible dream. He thought he might want to become a doctor, but he was really concerned that he was going to miss out on our kids' lives. He said that the number one priority for him was that his career must allow enough flexibility that he will be actively in their lives, at the activities, being the soccer coach, helping them with homework, etc. His dad was a great dad, but he was also an airline pilot, so he was gone for days at a time, and he missed a lot of things. Jeff knew that he wanted something with a better work-life balance. So Jeff made me start considering that trying to balance everything perfectly was not realistic nor attainable. And it made me consider our future family and a beneficial like work-life balance to be a major part of the equation in how I chose a career. On this episode, I have an incredibly special guest, my best friend for all of my life, Dr. Emily Blanke. She is an OBGYN in Jacksonville, Florida, our hometown, and she lives there with her husband, Matt, and their three daughters. She and Matt have come up with some really creative solutions over the years to balance having time with their children and juggling two careers with unusual schedules. Next week, I will be interviewing her twin sister, Claire, my other best friend for life, about being a stay-at-home mom for next week. I thought it would be an interesting contrast, as each method of mothering is valid, but not without their challenges. We conducted this interview over Zoom since Emily is in Jacksonville, and I am going to let Emily describe how we met.
All right. So, who are you and how do we know each other?
I'm Emily Belanke, formerly Lamp. And right. We met each other in the church nursery when we were like, I don't know, a month old.
I know.
3 months old, something like right. that. So the story goes.
Yeah.
That is because your brother was so nicely dressed that my mom decided she had to get to know your mother.
Yeah. I love that. And then they became friends and they had play dates like we have with our kids, you know, when I'm in Jacksonville. And I know I always had you guys. I was talking about this the other day, just with Devin's friends and all the social stuff, you know. And I'm like, you know, I always had them. So I had friends come in and out, but I always had
friends. Yeah. Right. Through all the, you know, elementary school and even when we went to different schools in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
And got back together in college.
In college.
Yeah. But yeah, we always had each other.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful blessing.
It absolutely. Yeah. And I for my podcast listeners, Emily has a twin sister, Claire, who I will be interviewing at another time about being a stay-at-home mom. And Emily is a working mother. Tell me, what do you do for your career?
So I'm an OBGYN. So I deliver babies and help women, as many of your listeners would understand, through some wonderful and sometimes very difficult times in their lives. From adolescence to women in their 80s and occasionally 90s.
Wow, amazing. Now they're not having babies, right, at age 90?
No, we don't have any Sarahs that I know.
God, that would be terrible, just personally. And how long have you, I guess, talk to me a little bit about your, you know, career track, kind of starting from, let's say starting from residency on to now.
So OBGYN is a 4-year residency. And so I started residency in 2006, the summer of 2006, and did 4 years and kind of go through all the different areas of OBGYN from, you know, deliveries to GYN oncology and the subspecialties. And then I decided to go into general obstetrics and gynecology, which just means that mostly it's general OBGYNs who are delivering babies and doing obstetric care, but also kind of general GYN care from your regular, you know, well woman visits every year to hysterectomies and various GYN surgeries. And so then when I graduated from residency, I joined a group practice and have been there ever since. So it's going on 14 years now, 14 years as of August. Hard to believe.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That really is.
Time flies.
I know, right? And talk to me, who are your children and how old are they?
So I have three lovely girls. And they are Catherine, who is 12, she's in sixth grade, and Rachel and Laura are twins, and they're 9, and they're in third grade.
All right, awesome. Sorry, things get a bidding. All right, and tell me about your husband, and how long have you been married?
Let's see, Matt is my husband, and we've been married, let me think, as of August, it will be 15 years. So
Wow.
we got, you know, we waited a little while, got married to get married. I think I was 31 when we got married. 31.
Yeah.
We met, like his grandmother set us up, actually. It's
Yeah,
kind of a fun story.
tell me that story.
Yeah. Well, they our grandmothers actually went to church together for years. Even Dad grew up in the youth group with Matt's uncle and aunt. His mom's a little bit younger. Yeah, so they actually kind of knew each other for years, and we figure we probably crossed paths when we were in like preschool, and you probably did too.
Right.
And right. And then we were going to church with both of our grandmothers on Mother's Day 1 year. And this I was already in residency, so it was like 2007. And we just kind of noticed each other across the way. And then his grandmother called my mom to ask for my number.
Oh
Then
my
the
God.
rest is history.
That's adorable. Now, did he ask your grandmother for your number, or did the grandmother's plot?
Well, actually, his grandmother plotted with my mother. So yeah, she called my mom to ask her for my number. My grandmother was she was already suffering from dementia at that point. So,
Yeah.
you know, but yeah, and then he called me that weekend.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
it's kind of a
I love
nice story. His
it. It is a nice
we
story.
like to say it's an arranged marriage, but it turned out very well.
That's true. And yeah, it did. It has. So I know at some point Matt was working as a police officer, and then you were working full time as an OB, right?
Right.
And did you have Catherine at that point, or did you have Catherine, Rachel, and Laura?
Well, we had all three of them. He worked, he let's see, he was on the street for about 5 years, and then he became a detective for a couple of years. And we had, yeah, Rachel and Laura. We had all three of them at one point while we were both working. Which was not easy and kind of led to or other
That's
decisions. I
hard.
don't know how much you want me to
Yeah, we'll get into
elaborate at this
there
point.
later. So I'm trying to think, how long were you both working full time before you
Well,
changed
about
it?
7 years. I mean, about 7 years
Okay.
in our marriage,
Yeah.
we were, yeah, both working full time, and depending on grandparents and some daycare for childcare. We had really not wanted to hire, it's fairly common to have like a nanny situation, but we chose not to do that. But thankfully we have grandparents in town.
Good ones.
So yeah, great ones, right, who have been very generous with their time. You know, I think when Catherine was little, pretty much, you know, when Matt would be working, she would go over to my parents' house and spend the day until he could pick her up or I could pick her up or
Wow. And you did some daycare also. Is that later?
That was really mainly for Rachel and Laura. So when they were born, we already had them enrolled at a daycare because that's kind of how you have to do it. So you have to do it way in advance.
Right.
Right. And we're going to give that a try for a couple. So we ended up doing that for a couple of years. We're happy with the daycare where they were. It just wasn't working
Yeah,
family
I hear
wise.
you. Yeah. With the grandparents, I know you had both sets there. Was it a regular schedule that you had them, or had them there, or?
When Catherine was younger, or when she was little, really, it was a somewhat regular schedule because the way that I think a lot of police departments do, it's kind of a like 5 days on, 5 days off, 4 days on, 4 days off. So it wasn't always the same days of the week, but yeah, pretty much every day when he would be working, and of course I would be working, And he actually worked nights for a while, but you know, he had to sleep some too. So she would go over to my parents' house. So yeah, it was, I mean, they had her a lot
Lot.
on some holidays and things when both of us would be working.
And you were, so obviously as an OB, you work your regular days and then you have 24-hour shifts. How were the arrangements with that? Just relying mostly on
Yeah,
grandparents
no, we
or
still relied a lot on them. So, I mean, in my call schedule was really pretty good for an OBGYN because we have a number in our group. So it was, I think, about as good as you can get for that specialty. But she would go over to their, so if he was working that night, you know, I would take her to their house in the morning and she would stay day and night with them. And then, you know, he would pick her up the next day whenever he got off. And we would kind of pass in the day. You know, I would get home from work, he would be leaving for work, and you would, you know, it's like, hi, bye.
Jeff and I, we didn't have Devin, but Jeff and I had that experience when I worked in customer service and I was working
Yes, right.
there. It was just like, oh, hello, bye. And that
I was
was
kind of like, hey, do I know you?
it. Yeah, wait, I think I know you. There's a stranger in my bed. So, of course, you did that for a while, and then you guys made a rather big decision. Tell me about that to, to change everything, really.
Yeah, you know, I am grateful to be able to do that. We had, let's see, Rachel and Laura were two, I think, and we had one of those years where we had had two hurricanes come in 1 year and then another hurricane the next year. I think it was Matthew and Irma. I can't remember exactly which ones, but and when that happens, they, you know, the city calls up all of the police officers and because they're needed to work on the streets and just during the emergency. You know, at the same time, I would have to be on call at the hospital and what do you do? You know, what do you do? We couldn't really ask our parents to take, you know, all of our kids during a hurricane. And we decided that it was just becoming too difficult to work two different weird schedules like that. And we really, you know, as I said, we really didn't want to do a nanny. I know some wonderful nannies and families who have had great experiences with them, but we wanted one of the parents to be the primary caregiver, if not the grand, you know, if not grandparents. But so we decided that it would be best for our family for probably for him to resign and for me to continue working. And so he resigned and we it's been great. I mean, just having a parent available to, you know, to take kids to school, to run interference, you know, and we were able to then send Rachel and Laura to our church preschool, which we loved, but doesn't, you know, doesn't provide wraparound care. So, you know, it wasn't feasible when both of us were working those schedules, but we, you know, we were able to bring them out of daycare and to go ahead and have them do, you know, a 9 to 12 preschool, which we love, and it's our church, so we love that. And you know, and now as they're getting older, he's able to pick them up and take them to activities, or you know, just as good as the care and everything is, but not have to have them go to aftercare and you know, stay there till 6, and you know, when you get that call, so and so is sick, someone to go pick them up, and it didn't involve. You know, because we would get that a lot with daycare too. It didn't involve one of us having to leave you know, in the middle of a difficult situation or in the middle of something like, oh, I've got to go. I can't really leave my surgery, or I can't, you know, he couldn't necessarily leave his detective work to go pick him up. So.
Yeah, that's true. I know that is complicated. And how long have you guys had that arrangement? Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been about, yeah, about 7 years now, or we have 6.5 to 7. So it's been great.
Wow, that's amazing. I know I like having a more flexible schedule, you know, for that reason. And Jeff has a job that, you know, is forgiving also, but you know, it does help that we live so close, you know, for like, oh, Devin, usually it's Devin got into trouble of some sort. So I need to come get him or whatever. Nothing major, but you know, middle school boys, that's all it is. Now, these days, your girls are very healthy and active. What sort of activities are they into right now? Like, because you got a lot, still have a lot of juggling going on.
You know, we don't I don't know. I listen to y'all you talk about baseball and all the ins and outs with that and you know, different things. We don't have all of that, but you know, they're we have done various things, cheerleading and gymnastics and dance and church activities and things, and so you know, it's wonderful to have the ability to do all those things and not be stressed out about who's gonna do this, who's gonna take you know, who's gonna take this one this place and the other one that place. So we have been very grateful for that. I'd say right now they're kind of into well, Catherine's very creative, so she does a lot of sewing, crocheting, that sort of thing. She loves to bake and she's involved with like our church youth ministry, and Rachel and Laura so they've done some dance and some gymnastics and kind of trying to figure out what they like with that.
Well, 9 years old, I don't have to commit quite yet.
Right. I don't
Yeah.
think
Go ahead.
that's okay.
Well, I know you've made a recent sort of decision too, with you, maybe not recent, but cutting back also with the practice. Tell me a little bit about that and what made you decide to do that.
Yeah, a lot of it kind of came up really during COVID, which is kind of an interesting time to make that decision, but it was, I think, the time that kind of got brought along, and one of my partners and I had been talking about doing some job sharing because we both have kids still at home and wanted to be able to spend some more time with them, and so we decided to kind of split ourselves, and I decided to go to more of a part-time schedule, you know, but I love obstetrics, so I still wanted to be able to do that. So right now I'm able to continue to do that with kind of a modified call schedule, and also have some time at home just doing kind of normal mom stuff, I like to say, you know, but
Right.
being able to you know, go on a field trip or go have lunch with my kids, you know, just take them to school and pick them up from school, which means a lot, you know, and I wanted to be able to do that while they're still young enough. Hopefully that, you know, that they can remember it, but still young enough to want your mom to come to school.
Right. Yes. Take advantage of that for as long as possible, right? Devin turns 12 tomorrow, so about
That's
the
right.
yeah,
April 24th.
we're getting there.
Yeah, that's that. I can't believe he's. I mean, I knew it was coming up, but yeah.
Yeah, the eye
Happy
rolls
birthday,
are,
Devin. Yeah.
I know, are getting more frequent,
Right.
but he's a good kid. So right now, what is, if anything, the thing that stresses you out the most, like when regards into work-life balance, if anything?
Well, yeah, I'm really thankful for the schedule that I have now. But I mean, as you know, if you're traveling or working, whatever, you're always the mom. And so there is, I think, maybe me, I'm selling guys short, but there's still always the pull of you want to be there for your kids. So even now, you know, they'll comment, "Mom, are you going to work again? You have to go to work again." And I'm like, it's a lot better than it used to be, a lot better. but you still want to be there. Like one of them wasn't feeling well today. And I really wanted to be able to be with her, but you have these other obligations too. So you kind of have this pull between your work life and your home life, you know, and I care a, you know, a lot about my patients and I want to provide them excellent care. But then you have the other pull, you know, the home pull, and you want to be there and you want to be the best mom for your children too, and trying to figure out how to do both of those things is it's always a challenge. It's still a challenge even with a much better schedule and you know and being to being able to be with them a lot more. There's still that pull and the fact that when you get home, even if it's after a long day or after a call, you know, I'm still the mom. I'm still, you know, I want to put them to bed, but I'm like falling asleep while I'm putting them to bed, you know.
I would love 24 hours.
Right. I wish I weren't so cranky.
I couldn't do a 24 hours these days. I don't know how you do it still.
It gets harder and harder. I mean, it's mostly happy, joyful work, but it's harder now than it was 10 years ago to be up at 3 a.m. and functional the next day.
Right. And also having to perform your job well, you know, I don't know how even at 25 you could do that, or however old you were when you got out of
Practice.
I guess. Well, what advice, you know, there's that's sort of a thing in our culture, I think especially American culture, of women doing both, you know, working, well, I have my career and I have my children and I want both and all. What's your advice for other working mothers?
I think go into it with realistic expectations. You know, when I was, you know, I felt like God was calling me to be a doctor, and kind of felt that way since I was in late elementary or middle school. That was kind of always the track that I thought I was supposed to go. And certainly sometimes the kids will ask too, you know, when I chose this specialty, I had not met, you know, I had Matt and I had met. I didn't even know if I would ever get married or have kids. I mean, I wanted to, but it wasn't necessarily on the horizon. And so sometimes I look back and think, would I have made the same decision if I had, you know, one already met Matt or we were already married? I don't know. And I think that's always something to look back. And when I'm talking with students and everything, you know, try to be honest. It is, every job has its stresses and its hard things. And I think you do have to love your work, because if you don't, it's going to be a long haul. And I do, I love the work that I do. You know, I don't necessarily love leaving my family, leaving my kids, you know, the mornings when I have to be gone for 24 or 36 hours. But I love the work that I do, and I love the people with whom I work. You know, the nurses and all the staff that I work with are wonderful, which is also an important thing, I think, because you're just gonna spend a lot of time with your work family too. But yeah, but sometimes I do look back and say, okay, God, is this where you still want me? You know, is this where you wanted me? Is this where you still want me? And I try to be honest with people who are with, you know, the women who are asking. Yeah, it's hard. You know, you are gonna sacrifice some time with your family. But every job is like that in a way, you
No
know,
doubt.
and are the, you know, the rewards larger than the things that you give up. My job is very rewarding. I certainly meet wonderful women and families, and I love that. I love being part of their lives at that point. But yeah, I miss, you know, there are definitely things with my own family that I've missed.
I know it's tough because you know, like you said, you're the mom, and I mean, we both have really amazing, supportive husband, without a doubt. But when Devin is like in crisis, shall we say, or, you know, whatever.
Sure, when you've got something.
You want mom, you want me. And I want to be that person also. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know if it is biological, if it is cultural. You know, as a mother, just having that pull, you know. And it's not to say that dads don't have that pull either. It's just different.
I think it's just different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I grew this child for 9 months in my body.
Right.
We have a connection.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think you're right. You're always the mom.
You're always the mom. I think that's well said for sure.
Welcome back to 45 Left or Right Podcast. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Emily. She is amazing and thoughtful and very intelligent and just a wonderful person. So I hope that you enjoyed that. So it would not be 45 Left or Right Podcast without some research. So I'm going to hit you with some of this. And hope it's applicable. This should come to as no surprise to anyone that it is more common now for mothers to work outside of the home. Some do it by choice, like Emily, and others by necessity because things are expensive and it's not always possible to stay home if you want to. The first batch of stats is from a sort of an organization called USA Facts. And this is run by former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer. And this really appears to be very balanced and a legitimate source. This is, you know, Ballmer made this organization as a way to make government data more accessible, because if you have ever been on any government site with statistics, they are hard to navigate largely, and the language of the stats is really hard to decipher. So he's trying to make it more available, more accessible. What's great about them is they do not take money from advertisers or anyone else. They do not even take a tax-exempt designation because they don't want to have any conflict of interest. So they're pretty cool. They've been bookmarked in my computer. So according to USA Facts, 2021, 24.2 million mothers were in the U.S. labor force. And this is with children younger than 18. Now, when they say in the labor force, that means that these mothers are currently employed or are looking for work. These numbers is such a huge change from 50 years ago in 1975, when only 47.5% of women with children were working or looking for work. And this is according to the Department of Labor. In 2000, it went from 47.5% to 72.9%. So that is a large majority of mothers that work in the United States. And off of topic here, 50 years ago was 1975. Who else feels like 50 years ago should be like 1950? Oh, God. I don't even want to think about it. Now, the number of working mothers is a little lower for women with young children. young children being under the age of 3, which is 64.2% in 2021. And that makes sense that the number is a little bit lower because finding childcare for really young children is difficult and it's expensive. And I think that moms feel especially compelled to be with their children when they are really little. I think, I don't know, I felt more of an ache when Devin was young to be away from him. So that's just my experience and my observations. But here's the thing. Looking at these numbers, most women, most mothers work full time, and they are still expected to be the primary caregivers. So there's working full time, and they are the primary caregivers, yet are still not getting paid the same. They only make 68.9% of what men make as of 2022. All right, I'll move on. And the next batch of statistics is a little denser because I got it through a government website, the National Center for Education Statistics. This really covers a lot about the choices in childcare for kids. This is mostly kids under the age of 5. And I don't want to get too much into the cost of childcare and then a lot of the other reasons why women have to work besides wanting to work, because I think that topic deserves its own episode one day. I want this episode to be more about the experience of being a working mom. So Emily talked about wanting either a parent or grandparent to be the primary caregivers for their kids. You know, if she or Matt couldn't be the primary caregiver, they wanted a grandparent. And they were lucky enough to have grandparents in the area. And I can certainly vouch for her parents, who were like a second set of parents for me. They are amazing. But most parents just don't have the option for family to help with the kids. In 2019, approximately 59% of children age 5 and younger who are not enrolled in kindergarten were in at least one weekly non-parental care arrangement as reported by their parents. So basically, 59% of non-school age kids were in some kind of childcare situation that didn't involve their parents. Among children in this weekly non-parental care arrangement, so we're just going to call it daycare, 62% were attending a daycare center, preschool, or pre-kindergarten. So some kind of, pre-K center. Of those, 38% were cared for by a relative, and 20% were cared for in a private home by someone not related to them. So like a home daycare. For Jeff and I, we have never lived in the same city as either of our parents, so it's never been an option for us to utilize grandparents. Honestly, I get a little sad sometimes when I see other kids Devin's age who have the grandparents, you know, at the baseball game or at the concerts. But that's just, you know, that's just not how it is for us. And you also have the consideration that if your parents are primary caregivers for your kids, that is a big toll on your parents who are getting older. So it's really hard. The next batch of stats is from the United Census Bureau, another hard to navigate government site, but I tried. So the U.S. Census Bureau did a household pulse survey, and they did it from September to December 2022. So according to that survey, roughly 61% of parents who were living with at least one child under the age of 18 say that they did not have any formal child care arrangements. But it looks like a big number. But remember, this is including children who are of school age or even older teenagers. But in this survey, it says about one in five, which is 21.8%, reported that child care was provided by a relative other than a parent. So an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, you know, a grandparent. Around 8.4% reported using a daycare center. About 5% reported using one of the following options: non-relative care, nursery or preschool, or before and after school care. And then about 3% used a family daycare. So, you know, when you look at these numbers compared to the numbers above the National Center for Educational Statistics, it seems like they're really low. But again, you got to remember that this includes kids who are in the age range between 6 and 17, so school age. So it would be a smaller number. Now look at, you know, even Emily, who really had a lot of good options for childcare, and she had, you know, the resources and the flexibility. Even she had to really struggle over finding a balance between her career as an OBGYN and then wanting to have memorable and quality time with her children and with her husband. How do you do it all? Welcome back to 45 Left or Right Podcast. I want to end with some reflections and a story. As Jeff and I sat on that disgusting love seat in my dorm room, planning our lives together, again as fools in love, we always talked about having at least one of our kids when I was in the Army, because it's free. This was before 9/11, so we thought it would be a relatively stable life. Then I got to my first unit in the 10th Mountain Division. This was post 9/11. And I saw that units were deploying young female soldiers to Iraq only 6 weeks after they gave birth. It was like they were getting punished for daring to have a baby while we were on deployment orders. Most of them became pregnant before we had deployment orders. So I think some of these officers did not know how pregnancy worked. But after I saw that, I realized that having a baby while in the Army was wildly unrealistic for us. For a lot of different reasons, I ended up staying home with Devin until he was 5 and went to kindergarten. My mom has always told me that the happiest she has ever been was when she stayed home with my brother and I, and I wanted to give it a try. I felt the pull to stay at home with Devin. I'll talk more about that experience in my next episode, where I talk to my friend Claire about being a stay-at-home mom. But once Devin went to kindergarten, I went back to school to get a second bachelor's degree in literary journalism. I commuted 60 miles each way in Southern California traffic. That was an hour and 20 minutes going there and usually 2.5 hours getting back. It was terrible. So because of my commute and my school and Jeff working full time, Devin had to be in daycare after school, and usually Jeff picked him up, if I remember properly. I felt alive when I was at school learning. I felt like I was doing something for myself, and I really enjoyed that. I was working toward a career in journalism, but my heart just ached when I thought about my adorable little boy in daycare from 12 to 6 some days. Jeff would usually pick him up, and though I know that Devin is always in very capable and loving hands when he is with Jeff, I felt guilty because it wasn't me, like I was neglecting him somehow. But I was also really happy in school, and I, of course, was very appreciative to have Jeff backing me up and, you know, being a really good dad, which he's always been. So as of now, I think I've settled on a good balance, but it hasn't always been by design. Journalism is a really tough market to freelance in right now, or get started freelancing right now. So I've been trying to work while Devin's at school and then be available for his things after school. I have a lot of flexibility, and I really like that. When the dean calls because Devin threw an apple at a bully, or the nurse calls when he did the one chip challenge, and if you don't know what that is, look it up and don't ever do it. I like being the one to go get him. I'm the mom. In the back of my mind, though, there is this thought. You have so much education, Doreese, and you aren't doing anything with it. You aren't fulfilling your potential. I enjoy my flexibility. I love spending time with Devin, and I love being able to support my family in running the household. But I also still put pressure on myself to do more, to be more. And I think whether you work inside or outside of the home as a mother, you are going to feel a conflict either way. Thank you for listening to 45 Left or Right podcast. I hope you listen next week when I interview Claire, who is not only a stay-at-home mom, but also a homeschooling mom to her 4 children. She's really interesting and cool, and I hope you check it out. And as always, in whatever podcast app you are using, if you could find the follow button or the rate button or leave comments, that would help me out a lot. And also, if you're on Instagram or, of course, Facebook, any sort of social media, please find me. I will post it in the notes to this show, which I have finally figured out how to do. So again, thank you so much for tuning in, and bye for now.